needs. There's a mighty big difference. There's a mighty big difference. Brother Joe Arthur from Jonesboro, Georgia. Come ahead, my brother.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10, again tonight in your Bible. Man, didn't you enjoy that great singing? First time I met the Rogers family, they were from Georgia. And most people leave their town or state to go to a job. They left Georgia to go to a church. And praise the Lord. I'm going to call Randy. Brother Randy Fox is my friend who sings with the Primitive. He recorded that song. And I'm going to tell him, buddy, he ain't got a drop in the bucket. Amen. That's better. I'm going to tell him, buddy, he's been knocked out by a four-year-old. Praise the Lord. Amen. I couldn't even say my name at four, much less remember all of that. And about like Lucy Ball, they asked her, could she read and write? She said, my soul, I can't even read reading, praise God. But isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Appreciate the good showers of blessings that's on the outside. And thank God for the showers of blessings on the inside. Brother Mays used to say, praise God, hope it gets so foggy we got to get a CNI dog. Amen, to get to the house. And I appreciate the goodness of God and the land of the living. God is great. God is good. And I thank Him for His mercy and His grace. The young lady testified that she made that false profession. She just didn't know any better. But then one day God got a hold of her. And you know what kept her out of hell from that time to then? Prevenient grace. And I appreciate God looking after me when I couldn't look after myself. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, when He was on the cross. Praise God, I'm glad we was on His mind. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And I'm glad tonight He is set down as an act of a finished work at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And I just want to say with them and the songwriter, oh, what a Savior is mine. Luke chapter number 10 tonight. Last night we read to you verse 30 down to verse number 35. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And we began preaching last night on this thought, Operation Rescue. How it is the desire of God to reach out and help those who cannot help themselves. And I want to say again tonight, I believe the very heartbeat of God and the very heartbeat of the gospel is God saving sinners that cannot save themselves. I believe the great truth of the Bible is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, not at the beginning, but at the end of his ministry, in whom I am chief. And aren't you glad one day God revealed unto you that you were a sinner and He was the Savior. And thank God His hand reached further down than we could reach up. Last night we took our text out of verse 30 on that certain man that fell among the thieves. And we said that he was a picture of the condition of the sinner. He pictures you and I before salvation. For he was fallen and he could not get up. And it seemed like nobody else could pick him up. But I'm glad we pick up the story tonight in verse number 33. It begins with a heavenly conjunction, but a certain Samaritan. In verse 30, you have a certain man who fell. But in verse 33, you have a certain Samaritan who loved the fallen man. And I want to say tonight, if that fallen man is a picture of the condition of the sinner, then I believe tonight, verse 33, that Samaritan, he is a picture of the compassion of the Savior. And aren't you glad tonight? He responded in compassion to our condition. Verse number 33 tonight, I believe, is a great picture of our Lord and our Savior, who is the Savior of mankind. Notice what it said in verse number 33, but I'm glad God turned it around. I'm glad God butted in. Thank God for thy heavenly conjunction. But a certain Samaritan. I love that word certain. That means one particular one. Not just anyone, but one particular one. I'm glad when you talk about Jesus, he's the particular one. I'm glad when you talk about Jesus, he's the certain Savior. He didn't say, I am a door or some door or one of the many doors. He said, I am the door. He didn't say, I am a way, some way, one of the many different ways. I am the way. He didn't say, I am a life or some life or one of the many lives. I am the way and the truth and the life. And outside of Jesus, there is no way, no truth, or no life. He's a certain Savior, the particular Savior, the only one of its kind, the incomparable Christ, the peerless Son of God, the impeccable Lamb of God. He's altogether lovely. And I'm glad tonight he is this certain Savior. Notice what he did in verse number 33. As he journeyed. Boy, I love that phrase. You say, what's so good about that phrase? Well, look back in verse number 30, 31 and 32. When it talked about the priest and the Levite, it used the word chance. By chance. But when it comes to the good Samaritan, he doesn't use the phrase by chance. He uses the phrase as he journeyed. As though the Holy Ghost was saying, he came this way on purpose. He moved this way by divine planning. It was not an accident. And it was not an afterthought. He came cause he wanted to. He came cause he chose to. He came because he was supposed to. I'm glad it wasn't luck with Jesus. It wasn't luck with the gospel. It wasn't luck with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad tonight we're not saved by good luck. We're saved by amazing grace. That Levite may not have known what he was doing. That priest may not have known what he was doing. But thank God that good Samaritan was. As he journeyed, came where he was. I want to say that's him tonight. I said last night that verse 30 is a great description of the sinner. But I want to say verse number 33 is a wonderful description of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. You say, how that? Because the Bible said, he came to where he was. May I say to you tonight, the salvation that's proclamated in this Bible is God initiative salvation. The salvation, the only salvation that's proclaimed in the Bible, did not originate in the heart of a depraved sinner. It was not concocted in the minds of religious leaders. No, it wasn't selected by a council of our religious forefathers. But I'm glad in the heart of a sovereign God, God moved towards man. God came towards man. Man couldn't go to where God was. But I'm glad God came to where man was. He came to where he was. You say, why didn't the fallen man go to where he was? He couldn't. He was fallen. There wasn't nowhere for him to go. And he couldn't have got up and went if he wanted to. He was helpless. And may I say that men and women and boys and girls outside of the grace of God are hopeless and helpless outside of a divine intervention of the grace of God. A leper cannot change his spots and a fallen man can't pick himself up. I'm glad there's a God in glory that sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to do what we could not do for ourselves. He came to where he was. Boy, aren't you glad he came Woo! He came to where we were. I believe one of the great songwriters of our day is Brother Squire Parson. I think he's done well. I think Brother Squire done well when he wrote Master of the Sea and Beulah Land and Look for Me at Jesus' Feet and I Sing Because and Oh What a Promise, and he's done pretty good for himself. But son, I believe old Brother Squire was in a class all by himself when he penned down these words about a gulf that was fixed, and he couldn't ford that gulf. And from where he was to God's demand seemed so far. And he cried out of desperation, Oh Lord, I cannot come to where you are. But he came to me. He came to me when I could not go to where Jesus was. He came to me. For 4,000 years, man tried to pull himself up and go to God, but innocence failed him, and conscience failed him, and promise failed him, and faith failed him, and the law failed him. But thank God, I read the Bible said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What the law could not do, in that it was weak. Man couldn't go to God. He could never arrive. But God came to man through the person of Jesus Christ. Some that night they decked out the Judean hills, and that heavenly choir sang the glory down. That star stuck out its silver finger out of the glory world, whoop, and pointed to that little old baby and said, Hallelujah, that's him. And some, that angel leaned over the balcony of heaven and with the melodious voice of the glory world said, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things are made by him, and without him not anything was made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. When Mary heard that voice crying from that manger, it was the same voice that echoed from the burning bush when she bathed those little hands. It was the same hands that scooped out the oceans and heaped up the mountains and traced down the valleys and laced down the riverbeds. When she saw those feet, it was the same feet that had walked the halls of eternity and walked out of the ivory palaces of glory into a sin-cursed world. He was more than a baby in Bethlehem's manger. He was more than the stranger by the shores of Galilee. He was more than a prophet. He was more than a priest. He was God, the God-man. He came to us, praise God. Oh, I'm glad he came to where he was. And he didn't come by afterthought nor accident. He came according to the divine foreknowledge, determinate counsel of God. And you say, you got any scripture for that? How much do you want? When John saw the revelated Christ, he was the Lamb of God, having been slain from the foundation of the world. Simon Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost said, Oh, ye men of Galilee and Nazareth, with wicked hands you've slain this man. But wait a minute, he was delivered by the determinate counsel in foreknowledge of God. I'm here to tell you, God didn't search all over heaven to find a Savior. He's always been Prince Emmanuel. He's always been Lord God Almighty. He's always been the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valleys, and the Bride in the Morning Star. This is not man's work. This is not religion work. This is God coming to man through the person of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how old-fashioned I am. Man is a sinner by birth, by nature, by choice, and he will remain so unless he has a head-on collision with Jesus Christ. And thank God, I'm glad that's exactly what happened. He came to where he was. Oh, he didn't wait for that fallen man to make the first move. He made the first move. He didn't go where that man was and said, "All right, boy, it's time for you to straighten up. It's time for you to do something with your life. It's time for you to pull yourself up, boy, and see if you can't straighten up a little bit." No, he came to where he was. He came to where he was. The next part of this verse says, "and went to him." That means he got down there where he was at. He didn't say, "Come up here, boy, and I'll help you." No, he got down there where he was. He went to him. He didn't go around him. He didn't go by him. He went to him. He got on his level. That man could never get up to where the Samaritan was, but the Samaritan condescended to where the... Hallelujah, I'm glad. When I couldn't save myself, he came, and he went to where I was. And you say, "Well, Pastor, how do you think this man pictures the Lord Jesus Christ?" Three reasons in our text. Look real closely. Number one, I want to say he is a picture of the Savior in the pity that he showed. Because the Bible said in verse number 33, "And when he came to where he was, he went to him." Here it is. "And had compassion on him." You see, the priest saw him, but he didn't love him. The Levites saw him, but didn't love him. They let what they saw repulse them and cause them to reject. But I want to say the Good Samaritan saw the same person in the same condition. But he didn't let what he saw stop him from loving what he seen. He didn't repulse him. He didn't make him reject. He was able to love what he saw. Can I tell you something tonight? This all lost and dying world, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I don't have any problem loving people that love me back. And I don't have any problem loving people that are worthy of my love. Well, them that don't love me back, I have a real problem with that. And them that's very unlovely, I have a real problem with that. But boy, I'm glad this Good Samaritan, he came, and when he saw him, something moved in his soul. They say the word compassion means to enter into another one's suffering. And notice, of all of the people Jesus could have used to describe this text, he used a Samaritan. Why didn't he use a full-blooded Jew? Why didn't he use some religious person? Why did he use a half-breed? Why did he use somebody who knew what it was to be mocked and made fun of? Isn't it amazing, the very man out of this text that had compassion on that other man was a very man that knew what it was to be afflicted and to be rejected. Son, I'm glad my Savior, he knew no sin. He could not sin. He did not sin. But he entered into my sin. He stepped into my world. Woo! And he became what I was. That's why tonight he's a sympathizing Savior. He knows what it is to be despised and rejected. I've got some members in my church, very, very, very few of them, but I have a few of them that were raised in church and they never did go to the world, and that's wonderful. I mean, I have a very few members that, you know, that's been in church all their life. The rest of the 85%, it ain't no telling where they've been. Because, son, it is Metro Atlanta. There's even a few of them old Wild Nichols boys down there. And I'm telling you, son, by the time they get to our church, they done been to the abortion clinic. They done been to the dry-out center. They done been to hell and back. You say, ooh, what do you do with those kind of people? What you better do to them everywhere? Preach the gospel. Run them by Calvary. Introduce them to Jesus. And watch God take them from the mire to the choir. And I ain't cutting down those people in my church that got saved at an early age and been in church all their life. They're wonderful. They're great. I thank God for them. But you know who the best witnessers I have in our church? You know who's the first one to get excited in our church? You know who the first one is to show compassion on some old heathen that comes into church? Somebody that's been down that road and walked in that path. Son, I'm glad the Savior, he stepped out of the ivory palaces of glory. Oh, his mind never had a wicked thought. His heart never had an unholy motive. His hands never pulled a shady deal. His feet never walked a crooked path. But he humbled himself in that garden and he picked up that cup and he drank every drop of that cup. And when he drank that cup, he became every sorry and low down rotten sin that the world knew anything about. And he stepped into my world. I could never go to his world, but he stepped into my world. Boy, I'm glad he had compassion. You know what he was able to do? He was able to do like the potter. Look beyond what the clay is and see what he can make out of it. You ever heard this statement? One of your buddies marrying old ugly girl. And you say, boy, what'd you do that for? And they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Only thing I want to say, some of the holders, I believe they need some magnifying glasses. Say amen. But boy, I really do believe that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And son, that priest looked at that man and didn't see nothing but a low-down man falling and couldn't get up. And that Levite looked and saw somebody that was not worthy of his assistance. Oh, but that certain Samaritan, he came by and he must have seen something the others didn't see. What did he see? He seen a lowly creature created in the image of God that had fallen from his estate, that had turned his back on Jerusalem and could not help himself and was going to die in that condition. And he loved what he saw. Aren't you glad one day when the all-seeing eyes of God fell across your life, he loved what he saw. He looked beyond your fault and he saw your need and he loved you anyhow. One of my favorite songwriters, she's still alive, but one of my favorite songwriters from the 60s and 70s was Dottie Rambo. And you say, she not a Baptist. Bless God, I don't care. She's one of my favorite songwriters. If she is holiness, somebody say amen right there. Boy, I tell you, she's written some classics. Man, you can't beat that. In the valley, he restoreth my soul. I even like that sentimental one. Build my mansion next door to Jesus. I'm glad I'm not so religious. I can't enjoy a sentimental one every now and then. I like one of her latest songs. We shall behold him. Dottie Rambo had a brother, and because of a promiscuous lifestyle, he was dying in a hospital. And she'd go up there and try to win him to God. He'd start out every conversation like this, Dottie. I'm too mean. I'm too bad. I've done too much. I've gone too far. And she would leave thinking, oh, God, you got to help me. And one day she was praying that God would give her something that she could say to her brother that would break down that old bitterness in his life. And she said, while she was praying, she said, the Holy Ghost slipped up beside of her and said, you go to that hospital. You tell your brother I'm able to look beyond his faults and see his need. Boy, she heard out of that prayer closet, went down to that hospital, got beside of her brother's bed and began to tell him about the Lord. And he started again, naughty too far, gone too far, done too much, too bad. She said, wait a minute, Bubba. She said, the Holy Ghost told me to come over and tell you, no matter who you are and what you've done, he can look beyond your fault and see your need. That broke him. Son, he got to squalling. And he wept his way to God. And I know some Baptists may not believe it, but he got saved right there and he missed hell by a couple of days. Not long after that, Miss Rambo was in her prayer place and she was praising the Lord for saving her brother just a few breaths from hell. And it wasn't long till Miss Rambo got out a piece of paper and she began to pen these words. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There are no stars in the sky and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, I'm glad tonight, deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea, higher than the mountains, taller than the stars and God's heaven. I'm glad the love of God, hallelujah. It's unmeasurable. It's incomprehensible. I'm glad it's indestructible. I'm glad in spite of my shame and in spite of my sin, he came. And when he came, he had compassion. He looked beyond everything that was wrong with him. And through the eyes of amazing grace. Son, I believe with all of my heart that night God saw me. He didn't see that 16-year-old, confused, lost Baptist preacher's boy. I believe he saw Joe Arthur the pastor, and Joe Arthur the preacher. I believe he even saw me up here on a Tuesday night preaching to y'all. I believe God said, I'm going to save that old boy. I'm going to give him something to say. I'm going to make him a trophy of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Aren't you glad he loved you tonight? Aren't you glad he looked beyond who you were? Aren't you glad your sin and your shame didn't repulse God, didn't repudiate God? But I'm glad tonight, in spite of everything against me, he loved me just like I was. You hear me tonight? I believe salvation will clean you up. But I'm telling you, glory, glory to God, you ain't got to clean up to get saved. Can I run me a good rabbit right here? If you got to start, stop, do or don't anything to be saved, that's salvation by works and not by grace. And son, these preachers that's propagating this junk across these camp meeting circles, you got to give up this and you got to give up this. Listen, if you're a sinner, you ain't got the power to give up nothing. You can't give up till you get the giver up on the inside. Every time I give up, I picked it back up. Then one day the giver up came inside my pick 'em up. Hey, I'm here to tell you, brother, when Alcohol Anonymous won't work, and when turnover new leaves won't work, and making New Year's resolutions won't work, a good dose of blood bought, Holy Ghost wrought, amazing grace, salvation, thank God, it'll get the job done, and God will live it in you. There's somebody sitting in this room tonight, and you say, I would be saved, but I'm just afraid I can't live it. You said it exactly right. You can't. There's people sitting in this room tonight, you'd love to be saved. You've heard that choir sing about it. You've heard the men of God preach about it. And you've said it can't be that good. Just try it. Can't be that good. You want to be saved so bad you can't stand it. But in your mind, you're thinking, I can't give up enough to get God to save me. You're right again. It ain't how you live. It ain't what you quit. It ain't what you start. It's when you realize you are a sinner and side with God against yourself. Believe everything God said about you and believe everything God said about him. And praise God. Say, here it is, Lord. Praise God. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. I'm glad tonight. His compassions fail not. Oh, I'll tell you, there's people sitting in this room tonight. You are so glad the person sitting next to you didn't know you before God got a hold of you. Because if they did, they'd probably get up and move. If you knew me before God got a hold of me, all y'all would leave. And if I knew y'all before God got a hold of y'all, I wouldn't even want to preach to you. I say, let the stinking heathens go to the devil. I can't help them anyhow. But son, I'm glad. He knew me. He saw me. But he loved me anyhow. My God, they said this old boy was crazy. But son, if that's crazy, we all need to lose our marbles. If we could withink the ocean field, and though the skies were a parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretch from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints, an angel song, I'm glad he loved me tonight. The pity that he showed, he went to him and he loved him just like he was. If I'd named Charlotte Elliott to you tonight, you've probably never heard of Charlotte Elliott. But I tell you what you've done. You've sang her song on many occasions. Charlotte Elliott had a brother who was a Baptist preacher up north. And she'd hear him preach on salvation by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. And I still believe it's by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. And she just could not understand it. She just could not see the light. She'd get under such conviction, she'd get nauseated and vomit. She just could not see salvation by grace. And one day at the dinner table, she was just messing around with the dinner. She was under such conviction, she lost her appetite. And her brother said, Charlotte, what is wrong with you? She said, brother, I just cannot see salvation by grace. Surely I must buy something. Surely I must earn something. Surely I must accomplish something to get a God that wonderful to accept somebody like me. And her brother said, Charlotte, you come to God just as you are. Cry out, Charlotte. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. And he said, Charlotte, the Lamb of God will take his blood, I love this, and rid your soul of every dark blot that sin. Boy, I like that ridden. That's a good old English word for take it away. Woo! Honey, he don't cover it up. He takes it away. And she went up to her bedroom. She went up to her bedroom and said, oh, Lamb of God, I come. Oh, Lamb of God, take my soul and rid it in thy blood. Oh, I come to thee Son, that old girl got a dose of salvation. God changed her life. And it wasn't long to one day she gave the Christian church one of the greatest hymns we've ever sang. It's page 81 in that church hymnal. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Oh, Lamba, I want to tell you, it worked for Charlotte Elliott. It worked for Joe Arthur. And I'm here to tell you, according to the word of God, it'll work for you tonight. I'm glad he came to where he was. Had compassion. The pity that he showed. I got to hurry, number two. Look in verse number 33. He's a picture of the Savior in the provisions that he shed. I like what he did for him. You say, what did he do for him, preacher? The Bible says in verse number 34, and went to him. Number one, are you ready? And bound up his wounds. Now, what I want to say is, where'd he get them bandages from? Well, just so I will not read into the Bible, I will say this. He had what he needed to get the job done. Hallelujah. As Tom Gillen would say, that ought to make a Presbyterian kick the back end of his choir robe out. Son, I'm here to tell you, let me just leave it at that. He was well equipped to handle the situation. Son, aren't you glad when God came to you that night, God invaded your life that night? Woo! He was well equipped to handle the situation. Bound up.
That's great. Hallelujah.
You know what, tonight, if Pastor Huntley here had a big gash on his hand, boy, it's hard to find good help, ain't it? Get your hand up. I'll let you know. I know you old, but I ain't gonna hurt you. Just. And if I come over here and see that gash, and I'm gonna bind up his wounds, you know what I've just done from your sight? I've just removed the scene of the gash. You can't see the wound nor the mess. All you can see is my bandage. And you know what they used for bandages in that day? They didn't use wool. They used clean, fine linen. White as snow. I got me a cross-reference verse. And the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That priest left him like he found him. That Levite left him like he found him. Oh, but that certain Samaritan, he put them clean white bandages on him, and he hid from their side the wounds left by the thieves. Praise God, I'm glad when God looks at me tonight, when heaven looks at me tonight, they don't see my past, they don't see my sin, they see the covering, the robe of righteousness, they see the blood. Woo! The blood of Jesus Christ. Let me bluegrass it. I'll tell you the best thing that I ever did do. I pulled off the old coat and I put on the new. Woo! Son, aren't you glad? I believe that old prodigal son, he came up out of that hog pen. His father didn't have to ask him where he'd been. He could take one look and one whiff and tell he'd been down there messing with them pigs. But son, I'm glad he fell on his neck and kissed him anyhow. Through muck and mire and everything else, he kissed him anyhow. And the very first thing the father did, said, son, I can't stand to look at you like that. You've lost that childhood innocence. Oh, you've lost that robe I gave you, and you took it out at your inheritance. And son, you got it marred with the stench of the pen. Oh, but I got a new robe, and it's called the best robe, and it's my own personal robe. I'm glad, hallelujah. One night I made an exchange. I said, one night. I made an exchange. I took off that old coat that had been tattered and worn by sin, and I put on a coat. Many colors my papa made for me. Glory to God, I'm glad tonight he bound up his wounds. I'm here to tell you tonight, God don't see your sin. He don't see your past. He sees the blood of Jesus. Praise God. The provisions that he shared. Look in verse 34. Bound up his wounds. Look what else he did in verse number 34. Watch the preposition. Pouring in. Can I say tonight, salvation's an inside job. Poured in. He put something in him. Son, I'm telling you, when God invaded your life, he put something in there, son. There wasn't nothing in there before but hell and shame. But he poured in. What did he pour in? Notice the two analogies in this text. Poured in oil and wine. We all know that oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. I preached on that one time when I was up here. How that oil soothed that man's hurt. And boy, I'm glad when I got saved, God put the Holy Ghost in me. But what in the world are we going to do with that wine? Now, I got the same old typology books everybody else has got. And I've heard it pictured a type of the Holy Spirit, and that can be. Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That is a good analogy. And then I've heard Dr. Kanoi preach all my life on joy, on that wine being a type of joy. And I guess if you'll drink enough of it, it will make you happy. And I love Dr. Kanoi, and I love John Phillips, and I really love Arthur Pink. But who is the master teacher? Who knows more about the book than anybody? Jesus. What did Jesus, the master teacher, in the upper room that night say? You remember he took that bread, Brother Rogers, and said, this is my body. Take it and eat it. And then he picked up that cup. And in that cup was the fruit of the vine. What is the fruit of the vine? Wine. And what did the master teacher say? This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of many sins. Oh, cross reference. Jesus said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. You know what wine is? It's the extract. When the vine is crushed, and the grapes are trotted in the wine press. Oh my God, my Savior, he tread the wine press of the fierceness of the wrath of God. Woo! He's that one that came down through the corners of time with blood splattered on his garments. I believe that wine is a picture of the blood of our Savior. I'm glad when Jesus came that night, the Holy Ghost applied the blood to my life. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost oil applied the blood. And can I say this tonight? It's still the blood. It always has been the blood. And guess what? It always will be the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me what it's no. No, of the fount I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm glad I can report to you tonight in 2005 that the stock market may lose and energy prices may go up or fall. I'm glad the blood has never lost its power. And guess what? To God be the glory, it never will. Son, when they sang that new song in the glory world, they didn't sing about faith. We ain't gonna need it no more. They won't sing about grace. It's already been culminated in the purposes of God. But you know what they sang about? They sang about blood. For thou hast redeemed us by thy blood, out of every tongue, out of every kindred. Lord God, young'uns, no wonder they said, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. Aren't you glad that night when God invaded your life, the Holy Ghost applied the blood? Number three, notice what else the provision that he shared. Look at verse 34. Pouring in oil and wine. I love this. And set him on his own beast and brought him to an end and took care of him. He didn't give him a five-point lecture on why he took the wrong road. He didn't take a ball bat and beat him into worse condition than he was. Only Baptists do stupid things like that. He fixed him, poured it in him, and set him on his own beast. Not the man's own beast, but the Samaritan's own beast. You say, what's so good about that? No longer did he have to walk in his own pair. No longer did he have to worry about taking the wrong road, because he wasn't walking now. He was riding at the expense of another. My family has this friend named Paul Gentry. Paul Gentry is not on the same intellect level as most of us, but he has such a big heart for God. He's never had a driver's license and been all over the world. I'm telling you, one night I passed him in Elkin, North Carolina, on my way to preach the Taylorsville camp meeting. I was driving a Crown Vic. He was walking, and when I walked into the tabernacle, he was already on the front row. I said, Paul, how'd you get here? He'd say, he's a hitchhiker. And you say, well, he's just stupid. He ain't got a car payment. He don't care, buddy, how high gas goes.
Right. I do.
He ain't never made an insurance premium. You know why? He's riding at the expense of another. I can be in a hurry. I can be in a hurry, but I can't pass that man without stopping and saying, get in, Paul. I just can't do it. My family loves him. He loves my family. He'll get in that car, and I'm not making fun of him. First thing he'll say, hi, Julie. I said, Paul, she's all right. Hi, you children. I said, Paul, I just can't pass that old man by. So now I've seen people go by and gave him the middle finger, shake their fist at him, throw gravel on him, sling mud all over him, act like they go. I can't do that. It's just something about, I can't help it. Son, I tell you, there's a lot of people that came by my woo, God help, I feel like preaching right here. Woo, bless God, you right, I ain't no grab bag. Amen.
Amen, Joe, tell it, son.
Ho, woo, there I was, depraved, condemned, lost and undone, so close to hell, bless God, in the heart was already black by the flames. Boy, there's a lot of people passed me by. They throwed rocks at me, throwed more mud on me, act like they hated me. Oh, but I'm glad Jesus, he just couldn't pass me by. His heart was too big, and he stopped the old gospel train. Woo!
Glory to God, I think I'll just take a lap up through the middle here. Stop the old gospel train and rolled out the red carpet of amazing grace. That said, get on board. Thank God now I got on board. Yeah, and I'm riding at the expense of another. I ain't got to make payments. I ain't got to pay insurance. I got blessed assurance. I'm not worried about getting lost. I'm not worried about getting delayed. Thank God I'm going into the city. I'm riding on the expense of another. Woo! You know why he wound up in that ditch? Because he walked his own path. But that ain't going to happen no more. Because he's riding at the expense of another. And the Bible said he brought him to an end. Boy, I'm glad he brought me. I'm glad he brought me up. I'm glad he brought me out. I'm glad he brought me in. And I'm glad he brought me to. I've been brought. He didn't leave him in the ditch. He didn't leave him to the elements. He didn't leave him to more thieves. Oh, I want to tell you, glory to God. He saved him, satisfied him, secured him. Son, I see that a boy riding that donkey being escorted by the Good Samaritan. Oh, he's not only riding at the expense of the other, he's got a chartered donkey ride. He's not the pilot nor the co-pilot. Honey, he's just enjoying the trip. Thank God I'm glad somebody else tonight is driving the glory train. Aren't you glad? He brought you. He brought you up and he brought you out and he brought you in and he took care of him. I don't know what all that means, but I sure do like it. He took care of him. He didn't say how much he spent, how much it cost him, how hard a job it was. He just stayed with him till the morning came. Woo! And I love this. And on the morrow, he said to that innkeeper, I gotta go. I gotta go away. I got to go tend to some important business.
Bye bye.
But before I leave, I'm going to give you what you need to serve in my absence.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, and I'm going to say more about this tomorrow night, it ain't going to cost you to serve me.
Listen, listen.
All right.
I'm giving you what you need. Can I run me a good rabbit right there? God, I get so tired of these meany-mouth whining preachers telling about all them sad stories on what all they had to give up so they could be God's great preacher. Double. If I'd Wade Huntley, I'd say, that makes me want to puke. That's exactly what you'd say, and you know it. Oh, they get up there and ain't why. Oh, I could have been this and I could have been this and I could have been that. But oh, ain't it wonderful that I just stepped down off my lofty perch to be low. Oh, hush. You didn't give up nothing but sin and hell and fire and wasted years and a wasted life. But praise God, I got everything in return. Joy, unspeakable, full of glory, all of this and heaven too. He's a picture of the Savior in the pity that he showed, in the provisions that he shared. Number three, and I'm done. He's a picture of the Savior in the promise that he spake. He said, I'm going, and here's what you need. And if it costs you any more than this, listen to this. I will repay thee. Listen to this line. When I come again. I've heard somebody else say that before. I heard somebody else say that before. One night in the upper room, Judas has just betrayed the Lord. Simon Peter's denied the Lord. I mean, son, it Calvary and the cross and that motley crew is right on the outside. And Jesus says, calm down, boys, calm down. Calm down, boys. Calm down now, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house now, boys, there's many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, read my lips, I will come again. Heard somebody else say that. Somebody stepped on that glory cloud, double clutched it to the third heaven. I see a rose in gravity let go of its force on that one spot as he rides through the clouds of heaven. Those two escorts stood by Jesus in white apparel. I believe they looked over there at him and saw the wounds on his face and in his side and on his hands. And one of them might have said, oh Lord Jesus, it looks like you've been through hell. He said, I have. And I got the keys. And they look down to those men and say, hey, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? Don't you know that this same Jesus that's taken from you will so come in like manner that good Samaritan said, I'm going, but I'm coming again. Oh, I'm glad when Jesus came, he did for me what I couldn't do for myself.
Right. Yeah.
Took me to a good church. The inn in the wilderness. Jeremiah said, oh, that I had a lodge in the wilderness for wayfaring men, that they may have a place to rest on their journey. God answered that prayer on the day of Pentecost and birthed his church into the world. And we're God's inn in the wilderness. You know what an inn is, a motel. If anybody knows, it ought to be me. It's a home away from home. It's a place where you rest till you get home. This is our home, away from home. And isn't it good to be in the inn, being taken care of, waiting on the second coming of our good Samaritan? I can't help it, but I got it in my mind. I can't help this. You know, the Bible said when that good Samaritan found that man, he was half dead. That literally means he was unconscious. At the time, he really didn't know what all was happening to him. You remember that day when you woke up and you realized, my God, I done more than join a church. I got born again, sanctified, praise God, delivered, regenerated, and redeemed. And the more you found out what happened to you, glory to God, the better you like it. Amen. Son, if I'd have known what I know now, what back then, Lord God, I would have busted a gut. He was unconscious. I don't believe he was all really aware of what went on. It's all a fog to him. But I see him in a day or two as he wakes up. Where am I? And there's that innkeeper over him. I said, you okay? You're at my inn. How'd that get here? Well, a couple of days ago, you walked down that Jericho road where them thieves were, and they got you. And they beat you up real bad, took everything you had, left you with nothing. Some other fellas come by but didn't care much for you, and they walked on. But another fella come by, and he loved you. Don't know why, but he did. And he had compassion on you. And you see them bandages? He put them on there. You feel that good oil and wine? He put it in there. You know why you're not dead now? Somebody come by and cared for you when nobody else did. I imagine that old boy might have said, well, sure would love to thank him. I can see that innkeeper, he says, you'll get your chance. You'll get your chance. How do you know? He's gone. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, he is. But the last thing he said before he left, I'll be back. I'll be back. And I have tried my best to imagine what it was like when he got back. I believe that old man said, I'm feeling better. Let me know when he's back. Oh, I will. Yeah. Introduce me to him when he gets back. I want a chance to thank him. And I don't know because the Bible don't say. But I want to tell you, glory to God, he is coming back for you and me. Someone said, I just love the fall at the feet of Jesus and thank him for saving me. Well, guess what? You're going to get your opportunity. I didn't get to meet Lindy Clear, but Brother Billy told me all about him. He had a water head. And I'm not being ugly, but Brother Billy said he was repulsive. He would walk in a restaurant and he was so repulsive. They wouldn't feed him. He'd go to check in a motel and they'd call the law on him. His mama was ashamed of him and she made him live in a doghouse, chained in the backyard, beat him, abused him. But one day God reached down in mercy and saved old Lindy Clear. Gave him the ability to play and sing, and he gave his life for the cause of Christ. Brother Lindy was the first one, Billy Kelly said, in this part of the country, sang that wonderful song. Before I can shout hallelujah, before I can sing my new song, I must kneel at the feet of Jesus and thank him for what he has done. Billy said old Lindy would get that little old squeeze box held around his shoulders with that old baling twine. And he'd say, young'uns, I know I ain't much to look at down here, but wait till you see me in my brand new home. And he'd start singing, before I walk those streets of gold, before I occupy my mansion, before I receive my crown, I'm going to kneel at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to thank him for what he's done. Aren't you glad tonight? He's worthy of our praise, of our worship, and our thanksgiving. Because he's coming back for those that he rescued along the journey. I just want to lift my hands and say, what a Savior. What a Savior. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. You remember that night when God came by? And God did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. The world needs to hear what God has done for others, he can do for them. Let's get them to come back and sing another line or two of that, oh, what a Savior. Anybody here tonight saved and know it and glad about it? I used to just say saved and know it, but I've started throwing in and glad about it. Anybody here saved and know it and glad about it? You say, preacher, does God still perform miracles? Well, is there anybody here tonight saved and know it and glad about it? Hold your hand up, keep it up. Now ask me, does God still perform miracles? Turn around and look at somebody with their hand up and say, hello, miracle, how are you? Amen. I'm glad to even love the Nichols.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad he loved them authors, them Huntleys, and them Moneyhams. Boy, aren't you glad he loved your outfit? Boy, I'm glad he loved them Huddlers. Boy, I'm glad he loved the Smiths and the Wilsons. In fact, I tell you what you do tonight. You just go into the phone book, open it up to any section of the alphabet and find you any name. And he loved them too. And them people on TV that do all these ungodly, diabolical sins, he loves them just as much as he loved you and me. That crowd that gets on the news and cusses and spits and shakes their fist in God's face and denies his existence, he loves them just as much as he loves you. I've been saved over 25 years. And he don't love me any more tonight than he did before I ever got saved. Brother Wade, you've been saved over 50 years. But I hate to tell you, he don't love you a bit more now than he did before you ever got saved. Bless God, for he laid the mud seals of this earth. His heart was already moving in our direction. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. You'll get that in a minute, glory to God. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. That was a way of an escape before the first cloud ever got in the sky. Before that was ever a sin or a sinner, that was a Savior. Oh, I'm glad one day he came to where I was. And his hand reached further down than I could reach up. Sang a verse in the course of that. Let's stand together tonight. Maybe you just like to come and get this old-fashioned on. Say, Lord, I want to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you, God, for moving in my life. I want to thank you, Lord, when I was nothing. When I was on my way to hell. Praise God. I want to thank you, Lord, when I was on my way to hell. You came to me. Maybe you just like to come and say, oh God, I want to thank you. That when I couldn't go to where you were, you came to where I was. Sing a verse on, sing a verse. I'm glad that's what he'll do.
And relieving my care.
He's the great burden lifter. Hallelujah.
He's my King.
I'm glad he saves to the uttermost. Coming, sing another verse, sweetie. Sing another verse.
There on the cross,
thank God that's where it happened.
Where he died for my sin.
That's where it happened. God don't ever get over it.
What a Savior.
Hallelujah.
He's my King.
Heaven is life. A wonder to win. Praise God. Hallelujah.
What a Savior.
You need to come to the Lord. Thank God Calvary still flows. Sing it.
Oh, what a Savior.
Hallelujah for Jesus. About lifting my burdens. Thank God I'm glad he lifts your burdens.
Lifting my burdens, relieving my cares. Oh, what a Savior is mine, giving me courage.
time that I junk my religion. Thank God.
Oh, what a Savior.
How far is to the uttermost, preacher? Far enough. Far enough. Far enough. I bless his good name. What a Savior, what a Savior, what a Savior he is. Aren't you glad you've been in God's house this night? Hearing God's man, amen. I bless his good name. I'm glad he came to me when I couldn't go to him. I'm glad when I couldn't cry out to him. I'm glad when I wasn't even looking in his direction. I hadn't even thought about him. He came to where I was. Blessed, blessed, blessed be the good name of God. Amen and amen. I know a number of you, you'll be in your churches tomorrow night. We invite you to come back. I know a number of our churches here from the Burke County Camp Meeting are going to come, be a part of the service tomorrow night. Hope and pray you can come back and hear this great man of God.